Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Support for WPR comes from the Stevens Point area, offering a variety of getaway experiences, itineraries, and ideas for beer lovers, foodies, outdoor recreation fans, and more are at StevensPointArea.com.
Everyone knows the Dalai Lama, but there's a new generation of Tibetan Buddhist leaders just coming of age, and among them, Mingyur Rinpoche. He's a renowned Buddhist Lama who runs a network of meditation centers around the world. And Steve Paulson has been hearing stories about him and recently got a chance to talk with him. Steve, who is Mingyur Rinpoche?
He's still quite young, in his early 40s, total baby face, but he's already considered a master contemplative and a reincarnated Lama. And I first heard about Mingyur Rinpoche a few years ago when some Buddhists were talking about this guy in India who had just disappeared one day and no one knew where he went. It was kind of a shocking thing to happen in the Buddhist world.
What do you mean he just disappeared?
Someone at his monastery in India knocked on his door and discovered that Rinpoche wasn't there. And they just found a letter that he had left saying that he'd gone away on a wandering retreat. People shouldn't worry about him. They shouldn't come and try to find him. And he would come back when the time was right, but he didn't say when.
Well, clearly he came back since you interviewed him, but how long was he gone?
4.5 years.
Wow.
So he came back in November of 2015, and he had an amazing story to tell, including a near-death experience.
You talked with him in person, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So what is he like?
So I went to his hotel room when he was in Madison leading a retreat, which he does all around the world. And so in his hotel room, he's in his Buddhist robe, sort of this, you know, small man, very cheerful. He hops up on the chair, sits in a full lotus, sort of never moves, you know, except for as he's talking, he sort of gets animated. And he's just, you know, he's someone you want to be in his presence. And I asked him why he had just picked up and left.
So in Tibet, we have some kind of tradition, what we call wandering retreat. So main idea is there's no money and no fixed plan and no support. Just go on street. So based on baking the food, and then just move without plan.
Ever since he was a child, Rinpoche had dreamed of going on one of these wandering retreats. In fact, his father, who was himself a renowned Buddhist teacher, had also wanted to do this. But every time he mentioned it to people in his monastery, they begged him to stay. So Mingyur Rinpoche knew he couldn't tell anyone he was leaving.
If I tell them, then they will drag me, you know.
They will say, don't go.
Don't go, please, if you go, then. So a real plan cannot tell. So then I just live one day in the midnight.
So, I mean, just to put this in perspective, I mean, what I heard is that you didn't take your passport, you didn't take any money, you didn't take anything except for the clothes that you were wearing.
Yeah, no passport, nothing. And in the beginning, I have about maybe 1,000 rupees, but then it finished within 3 weeks. So then after that, I have to bake the food. I have no plan, nothing, nowhere to go. And I feel very embarrassed being on, stay on street. I don't mind there's no bed. I don't mind there's no room. But just embarrassed. I feel like everybody's looking at me, just feeling very uncomfortable.
You come from a very well-known family. You were a renowned teacher. This must have been totally new for you. I mean, just to be essentially begging on the street.
Yeah, yes. I'm saying I'm kind of like Dharma prince. So I have nice family and I have nice friends. I never stay on the street even 1 hour. So this is completely different from me. So the first night when I stay on the street, wow, really, really different world. And in the daytime, there are some dogs around there. And we were friends in the daytime. At nighttime, they all barking and chasing after me because I have to go use, you know, restroom. There's no restroom in particular, you know, in the street, right?
So you would go day to day. Sometimes you didn't know where your food was coming from. I would think you must have gotten very nervous at times. I mean, you know, would you find food? And then during all this time, of course, you're meditating. I mean, you're yeah. Trying to maintain that peaceful state of mind, and yet your body must be fighting against that at times. And your body is sort of, you know, telling you, I need food.
Yeah. So I try to meditate. And then after some time, I have just trust some belief, kind of like, okay, nothing happened today and something happened tomorrow and I can get food. Yes.
You always had this belief that you would find food, that you were not going to starve.
Not the beginning, of course.
When friends of Mingyur Rinpoche heard that he'd left his monastery, they worried that his childhood anxieties might resurface. When he was little, he had crippling panic attacks, so severe he'd break out in a cold sweat when he was around people he didn't know. Thunder and snowstorms terrified him. And when he was 13, he started a 3-year retreat, which actually made the panic worse at the beginning. He'd get dizzy and feel waves of panic during his group prayers.
I was born in Nepal, right in the middle of the Himalaya mountains, very nice environment, but I have panic. And I learned meditation from my father when I was 9 years old, but then I'm lazy. So when I was young, I'm lazy boy. I lied.
That's not what I've heard. I've heard you were a prodigy when it came to meditation.
Not really. I mean, my panic get worse. Then I thought, okay, I'm going to accept my panic. Until then, I tried to get rid of my panic by meditation. So I thought, I'm going to accept. Once panic become my friend, panic's gone.
Explain that. What does it mean to make friends with your panic?
Yeah. Sometime when I was young, I don't like the panic. So what I call panic of the panic. So try to get rid of a panic become your enemy. So then when I accept, I just face my panic and use my panic as support for 3 things. Awareness, love and compassion, and wisdom. So wisdom within the panic. So therefore, we can make friends with the panic.
And you said that by the time you had gone on this wandering retreat, I mean, obviously years later, you no longer had any experience of panic.
Panic didn't come back.
Mingyur Rinpoche went on to become a renowned Buddhist teacher in his own right. He started a monastic college in northern India and founded the Turgar community, a worldwide network of meditation groups. He was even formally recognized as the incarnation of the 17th century Tibetan master Yonge Mingyur Rinpoche. But still, he was hardly prepared for what happened just a few weeks into his wandering retreat.
I got kind of like food poison or virus because in India, the street food is not so clean. And then I almost died.
What happened when you almost died?
What happened is I have diarrhea, vomiting and diarrhea, and for 3 days. And on the 4th day, I cannot move. And I thought I'm going to die. But then for 2 hours, I'm very nervous. What should I do? If I want to go back, one phone call will be okay. So they will come and I can go back. So should I go back or should I continue to stay? And I made a decision to stay.
Did you make a decision to die?
Yeah, kind of like that. Suicide mission. But anyway, I just let it go, let it be, whatever happens. Then after that, I feel quite okay and happy. There's a particular meditation that kind of 4 steps. First, letting go. And second, then kind of like what we call dedication. Whatever you did in your life, you just appreciate, gratitude, thank you. And third is the motivation, boost motivation. So this is the journey also. And you can learn until the last minute breath. So the death is the adventure, the best adventure in our life. And then pray. Then after that, what we call rest our mind into open awareness. So I cannot see, I cannot hear. Then my body become paralyzed. Then there's a lot of, happening, like falling and floating and like so many experiences. So I just rest into open awareness, just being, the sense of presence. Then I thought, now I'm really going to die. But my mind is so clear. Suddenly, completely open my mind. Like blue sky without cloud and sun shining.
Do you think you had lost consciousness? I mean, were you in some other state of consciousness at that point?
There's no time. Normally what I call monkey mind, you know, bala bala bala, yada yada yada. This monkey mind is gone. But at the same time, I know, knowing without thinking. And that experience is so precious, so blissful, so joyful. and I stay there within that state somehow. Maybe 4-5 hours until morning sun is coming. I know sound is coming also. Although my eyes are closed, I cannot hear. Then somehow I feel like this is not the time to me to die, some kind of feeling.
Was this what we in the West would call a near-death experience?
I don't know. It's not the out-of-body experience. Out-of-body experience means you kind of soul coming out of your body and you look up there and your body, not like that. But it's not inside, not outside. There's no sense of body, but mind completely open and beyond.
Because a lot of, from many people's stories of their near-death experiences, I mean, there are some common elements. I mean, there's right. The white light, the tunnel, sometimes visions of angelic beings, sometimes right. dead people who somehow come back into their visions. Did you have any of that?
No, those visions. Just sense of this awareness, pure awareness, and there's no conceptual mind. And there's no time. And no direction front and back.
After that experience, anybody else might have retreated back to the safety of the monastery. But Rinpoche decided his journey was just beginning, so he headed even further away from civilization.
Summer, I go into the Himalaya Mountains. Mostly, I went to Nepal, just borderline between Tibet and Nepal. So there's a lot of holy places. So there's Cave of Milarepa, so many nice caves, and stay there.
Wait, so you would just stay in a cave? How big a cave?
Some caves are very big, some caves not so big. Some caves have the window and door, some there's no window and door. But most of the cave inside dry during rainy season. I have to get there before the monsoon season. So I can collect all the woods, and I can collect dry tree leaves, dry grass, so I can make nice bed. You know, mattress. And nearby there, sometimes I can get wild vegetables, wild mushrooms. Quite nice.
What is it like to live in a cave for weeks or even months at a time?
Stay in a cave, so nice for me. After I have this almost die experience, everything's okay. I can stay everywhere and very happy to be alive.
So that changed you. I mean, that experience, nearly dying. I mean, you were a different person at that point?
After that, I've become a different person. Before that, although I've been meditating for a long time, but still there's what we call grasping, cannot let go. Then after that, I'm so happy that so much gratitude, so much appreciation. Just having these wonderful eyes to can see many things. Just being, just seeing, just hearing, just experiencing.
Rinpoche lived that way for 4.5 years. In the winters, he came down from the mountains into India and became a sadhu, a Hindu yogi who begs and lives on the street. But eventually, he decided it was time to go home, back to his monastery. And today, he travels all over the world teaching Dharma and some of those lessons he learned from his years living on the street.
Yes, so now many people, they can meditate very easy on the cushion, but then off cushion, like, please, quiet, I'm meditating, you know. So cannot deal the problem in day-to-day life. So I'm more focused about meditation, how to apply in daily life.
What does that mean? I mean, let's say for Americans who spend their work days in an office, do you have any advice for them?
Yes. You can meditate everywhere, anytime. So you can meditate at office, going to exercise, only 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds. Okay, you don't need to have a special cushion, you don't need to have perfect posture for meditation. So open awareness, just being, resting your mind and body, just being with the present moment. Awareness is always present. So you can do that while you're drinking coffee, you're having a meeting.
Wait, but you're saying you can have a 2-second meditation, a 4-second meditation, that can actually be meaningful?
Of course, of course. Even 2 seconds, it changes day.
You're inspiring me here. But I think there are years and years of practice that goes into what you're talking about.
It takes time, not so easy, but even 2 seconds, 1 minute in the morning helps all day.
That's Mingyur Rinpoche talking with Steve Paulson. Rinpoche returned from his 4.5-year wandering retreat last year. He's the founder and guiding teacher of the Tergar community, which has meditation centers all over the world.